Well, what I think I'll do is I'll just read a number of not very long sort of environmental things. I got a new little volume on the way, which borrows its title from a man called James Lovelock, who wrote Atomic Gaia, English scientist. I'm sure you're familiar with at least with the title. Well, I've provisionally borrowed the title, which I think you're allowed to do if you're writing a book of poems and the original title was a different kind of book. But I haven't actually decided on that yet. A little bit plagiaristic. Anyway, so this is a series of sort of environmental things. The first one actually is a friend of mine and of many down below in the Onsen Sale has in his garden he has put up a sort of battery of solar panels. He's a great believer in the sustainable energies and all that. So that's what this one is about. And in fact, when he had a sort of party to open the thing, to open the solar panel experience, he got several of us to do things. So I wrote this thing here. It's called It's Radiant Energy. I hope you get you know what I'm talking about the first few lines. A world of dikes and bikes, where yogurt weavers thrive on gin and margarine. This is how to live in the post-petroleum age, gathering light beams to run the house with clean photoelectric frames that trap the sun and focus its radiant energy. Their glow reflects the seasons, cloud cover, open skies. Our microclimate gives us gentle winters here. Spring starts in January and lasts throughout the year, with its perennial flowers. So even an average annual 1,000 kilowatt hours per photovoltaic panel looks feasible in time. What you notice about the panes is their composure, their heliotropic quiet, as stargazing, rain-laced, light-drinking polysilicon raises its many faces to worship the hot sun. Great sun, dim or bright, I in the changing sky, send us warmth and light. We can never die while you are roaring there in serial rebirth beyond our atmosphere. Remember life on Earth. Okay, this one is this would be the title poem now, the little pamphlet. Called Homage to Gaia, therefore. Since we destroyed the woods with crazy chainsaws, oiled the sea, burned up the clouds, upset the natural world to grow fat, if I may, I want to apologize for our mistakes and pay homage to seas and skies, to field and stream, to you, great Gaia, our first mother, with your confused retinue of birds, your weird weather. You've done so much for us, and what do we give back? Suspension bridges, yes, and columns of black smoke. Blowing hot and cold, you love us and hate us both. We babble about the world, while you sustain the earth. You will prevail, of course, if in a different form. We go from bad to worse, just trying to keep warm. This one is about wind turbines. Wind and wave. They're all very similar, see? They're all very similar. Which means they run the risk of getting boring. But let's hope it doesn't. Quicksilk would pick a fight with wind turbines. More bad giants gesticulating from onshore and offshore. Not realizing that these and the far-sighted waves fetching up from long seas with a final heave transformed the wild energies of chaos and old life into a clean and infinite source of power and light. Coleridge kept a wind harp like a harmonica lodged in an open window to catch the slightest flicker of even the faintest breeze in even the calmest weather, the muse of music dozing upon her quiet zither. But if this is the true breath of life, the air that sings in larynx and sea frost and ruffles spread wings. This is the wind that drives the dark waves below to light our homely lives with an unearthly glow. Blow, wind, and seas that slick rotors race tied to the estuaries till we shine on in space. Do you know the Cochina Cafe in Kinsale?
Yeah.
Highly recommend. And Ursula, who runs it, is what the Americans call a great gal. A cold and stormy morning. I sit in Ursula's place and fancy something spicy, served with the usual grace by one of her bright workforce who know us from before, an ice girl from Tbilisi, Penang, or Baltimore. Some red basil linguine would surely hit the spot. Something light and shiny, mint yogurty and hot. A frosty but delightful pistachio ice cream and some strong herbal infusion breathed in steam. Once a tomato sandwich and a pint of stout will do, but them days are over. I want to have a go at some amusing fusion, Thai and Italian both. A dish of squid and pine nuts simmered in lemon broth, and watch the atmospheric, the happy lunchtime crowd as the cold hand gets warmer and conversation loud. Boats straying at sea, alas, gales rattle the slate, while inside at Ursula's we bow to our warm place. Now, I'm not very a pop fan, but I've got a kind of thing for Björk. This is called it's called Ode to Björk. All right. More a Mozart fan, really, but never mind. Dark bird of ice, dark swan of snow. Your bright gamine teardrop Inuit eyes peep from a magazine as if to say F off and get my new release. You don't know me, I am the dark swan of ice and secrecy, the seagull, the unringed plover, not something to tame and stroke. Ever since Bit and Snot, Aeroplane and Anchor Song, your aim has been to knock aside the expectations of corporate brainwashed rock. Headphones and cover me, I listen to your voice. A lonely bird that pipes from quickly thawing ice, a bad child acting out behind the electronics, a mad flirt that shouts beyond the audio mix. No doubt you'd like to get an open car, a megaphone, and tell the world like Garbo, I want to be alone. Here in the confused stink of global warming, what you really want, I think, is not spit and snot, but mystery and mystique. The hidden places where the wild things are, and no one can track you to your lair. Sea levels rising annually, glaciers sliding fast, species extinct, the far north negotiable at last. Anyhow, you're not playing to us, are you? Not to the white light and corrugated iron of roofs of the Arctic night. Up there where silence falls and there is no more land, your scared, scary voice calls to the great waste. I've long had an affection for and respect for dirigibles, airships, those things. And I'm convinced that they're going to come back. They're going to, you know, when we're not allowed to fly planes anymore, we're going to go back to airships. But this time they won't blow up because they'll be helium, not hydrogen. I'm convinced people are working on this already. Some genius somewhere is already working on this project. And we'll all be slow then, of course. You know, everything will be slow. And it won't matter if it takes 3 days to get across the Atlantic.
Yes.
It won't take that. It'll take two nights. But it'll be more fun than, I mean, it couldn't be worse than, you know, the present. Look at T5 that he throws at dirigible. Now, I'm told that you know, the Goodyear blimp and things like that aren't actually allowed to fly anymore around New York. And this probably applies to other cities too, because for security reasons. We who used to drift superbly in mid-air, each a giant airship before the last war, so-called, shrink to a soft buzz above financial centers, surprising visitors, hackers and bean counters in cloud-flown high-rises. Cloud-flow, we snook for hours on open-plan offices and cloudy cocktail bars. Amnesia and mystique have cast into oblivion fiery failures like Italia R101, the whole brief catalogue of mad catastrophes, and showy Hindenburg, of course, the last of these. A temporary setback. Our time will come again, with helium in this act, instead of hydrogen. While slow idealists gaze at refrozen ice, re-flourishing rainforests, the oceans back in place. But sand and stars, blue sky, clear water, scattered light, as in the early days of nearly silent flight. Three more. I was recently in India, first time, January. Down in Goa, most of the time. These are sort of Goa poems. This one's called Indian Garden. Indigo night fronds like quills dipped in ink share in the life cycle as quietly they drink the close tropical heat. New coconuts take shape. There are two kinds of coconuts, at least two, you know. There's the green and the brown. We know the brown. The green are very popular out there. New coconuts take shape in clusters out of reach, but these are the brown. Patrimony of the ape, said Darrell. A well-aimed machete stroke. You sip nectar, and the brainy skull is its own cup. It rots in sandy soil here at the ocean rim, changing to coal and oil through geological time. The spiritual substance we generate likewise rejoins the ancient sense. It never wholly dies, but circulates at random somewhere in the ether when body closes down. And so we live forever. Okay, so one more now. This is a bit longer. This one.
Four more.
All right.
Give us some welly.
I'm hearing all these new phrases tonight. Give us some welly.
Have a golden.
All right.
Don't spare the heart.
All right.
Break on that.
This one's called Turtle Beach. This is another Goa poem. And this is about Turtle Beach. Is the turtles lay their eggs up at the top of the beach and go away on a holiday.
And they come back a couple of months later. They do this once a year. And they lay their beach at where they themselves, they lay their eggs, but they themselves were born. They themselves came out of here. And then they come back and for the hatching. And just how they do that, I don't know. Do they sit on the eggs or what? I don't know. But the eggs are laid sort of under the sand. And of course the foxes and the kites and all that are on the watch. The turtles are good enough to do it at night. And the Goa Forestry Department is there to frighten off the predators. So it's all quite drama, you know? Then the turtles all run down to the water. I didn't see it, I wasn't even told about it. Laterite outcrops ranged along the seaboard shield them from the most alarming feature of this coast, mud chaos of the rainy months. But not from parties, song and song, where the new people dance the dance. The crow and the high Brahmini kite know about the amphibious chicks due to emerge on hatching night, and flipper scrambles down the shore. The tufts are up to their old tricks, looking out for a chance to score. But still the turtles once a year head for nest sites up the beach. The human footprint doesn't scare these creatures from their sanctuary. Only night sight cameras watch the young in their wild dash to the sea. This one, although I'm not sure about the title, since the little book is called Homage to Gaia, I thought I might call this one Homage to Goa. But we've had some bad news recently out of Goa about the girl who was killed. So I might give it a different part of it. Anyway, so here it goes. It's about reincarnation, I suppose, which the Hindus used to believe in. I don't expect to do anymore, but it was the central tenet of Hindu thinking, classical Hindu thinking for a very long time. An idea that's all repeated in some reason. So I was reading a bit about not knowing anything about such things. I was reading a bit about the Hindu gods and all that, guides to the gods. And sort of background here is the place where I was staying, and the little English girl was a father and mother upstairs, and she kept seeing the wheels on the bus go round and round. And while she was seeing this, I noticed that the ceiling fans in the different flats in the house were going round and round as well, looking like helicopters. So it's all about, really, I think it's about wheels and that sort of thing. I'll just read it. Stop traveling. Alright, the ceiling fans in the house go round and round, as if to whisk us off to a different sky. I squirt deep at a thin mosquito pine. Gods chuckle softly from a garden shrine, fruit ripen in the gloaming without a sound. Shiva, Parvati, and Ganesh, the elephant boy, promote the comical to the sublime. Though given a choice of deities, I defer like most to living Krishna in the heat and dust, brother of Dionysus, expert in everything, flute player, hero and lecturer, comedian, king. I rock on a warm veranda as daylight goes. The hippies too revered him in the old days of hair and beads, torchlights and techno trance, trailing from poppy field to lamentary as irksome and imperious as Chemosh. It's snowing in Kashmir, but here in Goa we already have spring temperature. Anandu waters the earth and brushes up the sand. Banana leaves and plantains in the days trade oxygen for tar. Tat tram a sea. Explain that in a minute. Already a heavy mango strikes the ground. Tat tram a sea. That's from the Upanishad. It means you too are this. You are part of nature as well. Amadi once myself, I buzzed and bit, but only foot and elbow, ear and knee. A smart macaque and keen on human thought, with a reach, that kind of monkey, with a reach greater than my grasp, I dance wildly at times, conscious of ignorance, or true on my own morose inadequacy. Still I behaved, and so the next time out I got to sit to a half-mad sadhu at Brahmin school. The body is a shadow, said he. It tells you in the Upanishads, but spirit knows no slapstick or romance. Clouds grow the people and we spread like plants. Waves smash on beaches for no obvious purpose except to deliver the down-to-earth palingenesis of multitudinous life particles. A porpoise revolves in the sky as if in outer space where we started out so many eons ago. Goa fact file. Infant mortality low. Average life expectancy 75. Functional literacy 69%. Porcupine and flying fox survive. Also the sloth bear and the shy cheetah doe. Quote, the blazing meteor, is it dead or alive? A deliberate thing or merely gas and stone? Some believe in a life after this one, while others say we're only nut and leaf. An aging man repents his wicked ways. We started out so innocent, so serene, unquote. Abu al-Mardi, 10th century Syrian. Given a choice between paradise and this life, I choose this life with its calamities, the shining sari, the collapsing waves, the jeep asleep beneath the coconut tree. Sky flower, flame of the forest among the palms, ripe mangoes dropping from the many limbs, the radio twang of a high-pitched sitar, Kareena Kapoor in hot new avatar. A gecko snaps the spider from a window. Given a choice of worlds here or beyond, I'd pick this one not once but many times, whether as mozzy, monkey, or pure mind. The road of enlightenment runs past the house with the daughter rickshaws and its dreamy cars, but the fans like the galaxy go round and round.